Röster.
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 Dagens programledare är Isobel, Ryan och Raiden.
Dina röster i vardagen.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for the fountain booboo.
I know who said our name in the beginning of the recording, but she will remain nameless. Maybe it was AI.
This is what we're going to talk about is AI, and specifically generative AI. I'm Ryan. This is Isobel. This is Raiden. Raiden, can you tell us what is exactly generative AI in terms of, I guess, the umbrella?
Yeah, so AI is short for artificial intelligence, and it's a computer software that people are using to prompt things instead of actually creating it themselves. They're using the system to generate the stuff, prompt it.
That's what I want to ask you right off the bat there. They're using a tool to create something from nothing? It's fake?
Yeah.
But they're saying, I want to make a song called The Velvet Sundown, for example, spit out 3 minutes or two albums or...
Yeah, and then the AI takes that prompt, it tracks down what it has in its system, and then it takes those parts and put them all together and create something fairly unique out of that.
So it is something.
It's also a big question, what is fake? What is real art and what is fake art?
Because we are, we have a little clip, right? I think we're ready paired for the Velvet Sundown, a little 20-second clip of a fake song, an AI song. You got that Velvet Sundown, Dust on the Wind. Completely artificial intelligent, like what Raiden said, generative, just a prompt, and then the song came. Anything? Maybe like 20 seconds? What is... It's a good question. What is fake? Isobel, what is fake? Can you be fake?
Anyone can be fake. But like the biggest thing that we were discussing is that...
Got a beat.
Sounds real, right?
It's got a guitar.
Dust on the wind, boots on the ground, smoke in the sky, no peace found. Rivers run red, the drums roll slow.
Thank you for that pair. It's got a beat, it's got lyrics.
But like what we were discussing is like, okay, even if all the parts are sort of, you know, legitimate, what makes it fake or AI is that the computer will never volunteer to do this out of nothing, right? You need a human being who comes in and prompts it to be, write me this thing and this is how I want it to be.
So is it like God saying, let there be light? You weren't expecting that, were you?
No. I'm like, error 404 screen is like, what? No, we did not discuss that.
And like you said purpose. Earlier, created out of nothing. It's never created out of nothing. It
right.
needs samples
yeah.
to be able to create something. And those samples can come from all over the internet.
The whole world
yeah, all
is
over
collectively
the world.
Putting in.
Yeah, it learns.
And it's sucking it in, and then it's spewing it back out what we want.
Exactly, and where it's taking them from, and whether or not it was consensual, that's a big question. But, yeah.
Well, I don't know how you feel, that song we heard, that fake song, we need a real song. So please, can you pronounce that?
No idea.
I can't. It's Swedish.
Slåa knivar.
Slåa knivar. Depression. Nice. That was Slåa knivar, depression. Thank you. So moving on with our conversation about AI and generative AI. It is a tool like the hammer, right? Like a pen. But there are pros and cons because like a hammer and a pen, we can, you know, inflict pain if we wanted to, damage a lot. So Isobel, if you could expand more on the tools.
Yeah, all right. So as we started talking that like AI will never just volunteer out of nowhere to create something. You need a person to prompt it to do it. So obviously there are ways to use it in like more legitimate ways.
So in other words, like this pen is not going to write me a novel.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to use the pen.
Yeah, exactly. So you could brainstorm with it. You could ask it to generate some sort of like general ideas, and then you are the one who's developing them properly. I have no idea. I'm so against AI, and it's serviceable. But
what are you against AI? Because is that a con? Like what? I mean, I'm against hammers because they hit heads and they crack skulls. But they also put nails in buildings. And
is because you're American. You're like, guns don't kill people. It's people who kill people.
That's true. Guns don't kill people. That's true. Guns don't kill people.
So, like, I mean, obviously, but with AI, there's always this background cost on the, you know, the environment and all sorts of stuff. But we're not even going to begin to get into that. But, yeah. What are positive uses of?
Yeah, to go back to the analogy of a hammer, comparing AI to a hammer,
sure.
Like, yeah, everybody knows that a carpenter uses a hammer to nail in the nails.
Sure.
And that's legit. Everybody gets that's something you do. That's a fair work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a person who can't raise the hammer yourself and swing it with enough strength, so instead of using a hammer, instead of using an instrument to create the music, you use a nail gun, use AI to
that's
get the nail in.
That's great.
Is that cheating?
I was gonna ask you both, do you see the future, like, because you brought up guns, I'm American, blah blah blah, do you see the future of generative AI and tool using being regulated?
We do need proper regulations.
We hope so.
So
in which way?
So it's not just a 100% generated song like the one we heard previously.
That was scary. That was scary.
Yeah, that's really weird, and it goes against all the creativity for art and culture and music. So what we do need is we can use it as a tool, but only as a tool to help with support, but not completely rely on it. So we do need to regulate that and make sure that all the samples that the AI are using to create this stuff are from consensual sources.
Interesting. I agree with all of that, actually, being an American. Gun-toting.
Speaking of using it as an AI tool, Sveriges Radio released an article yesterday about how Sweden are going to allow the help of AI to create the songs for the Melodifestivalen this year.
Yeah, so AI will be at Melodifestivalen this year, but with restrictions, right?
Yeah, with restrictions. It's allowed to be used to help in the process of creating the songs, the lyrics, stuff like that, but they're not allowed to use it in the final product on stage.
Oh, I also, finally, my brain loaded, a use of AI that I could actually see that's a proper tool and a proper usage of it. A lot of stuff in the editing process, especially like video editing and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how having it automated is a legitimate thing. Like you would have AI finding, I don't know, all of the faces or all of the this and that. And like, why waste so much time doing stuff manually when you can just automate it? It is still AI that is sort of generating content with you. So that for sure.
Yeah. But
you both make great points. I have no devil's advocate arguments.
Yeah, but
I want to hear a song, though. Do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
Our next song, BTS with Halsey, Boy with Love.
K-pop.
Thanks for watching the Fontainebleau. Having a little bit of a technical difficulty. It's okay. It's probably AI. AI probably is acting on its own. That's all the movies, the AI acts on its own. The Terminator's acting on its own.
Yeah.
HAL from 2001 Space Odyssey's acting on its own.
Which is why it's so super annoying now that we're going into it. We've had so many movies that told us, do not do this. This is what's going
to
happen.
But
and
you have
and
to
everyone saw it. It's like, let's do it. Let's do exactly that.
But is Elon Musk telling SpaceX, get up there and give us, or Starlink, give us the internet? Does he have to say that, or are they just going like, it's internet time, here you go?
I have no idea. Elon Musk is...
I don't know.
Musky-husky.
You know, it's definitely interesting, because all the movies are saying AI is, you know, iRobot with Will Smith. It's going to get its own mind and will take us.
Yeah, just like the Matrix, the AI is the enemy in that.
Yeah, the Matrix is enemy, and
but which then we have
Agent Smith goes out of his way, right?
Yeah,
he goes
yeah.
to get Neo, but today they can't do any. If we all decided to log off, we would log up. Technical difficulties? Yeah, we would log off. So this will be BTS with Halsey Borthlef. Nah, nah, nah. Well, nah, nah, nah. Okay, that was it. That's all we got.
Yeah,
moving on. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's one movie that doesn't villainize AI. It's Steven Spielberg's AI from, 2001?
Great. Rob Williams, right? He plays the voice of the robot at the end.
The boy in the movie is the AI.
Jude
robot.
Law, right? Yeah, he's AI.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
They create him out of, because the kid was going to die or something.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And then he comes back alive, and then they kind of kick him to the streets, and he grows up on the streets because he doesn't have to be fed. He doesn't have to drink water. He can be out in the elements.
This is like half of the Black Mirror episodes.
that's a good
like
point.
We're never going to die. Just upload our consciousness into the computer. And we're going to live forever. Oh, in Vanilla Sky. Yo,
the opening.
Vanilla Sky.
The first episode where the man took the consciousness of his co-workers and put it in a virtual game where he harasses them constantly over and over. That's a horrible use of AI. So that's a good reason for having regulations. Things like that can't
and
happen.
The human factor and the ethics really need to be like Grok undressing children and so on. This is like this is not AI's fault per se.
Yeah, that's like another one. Yep, yeah. That's bad.
That's definitely the human factor.
Yeah. I mean, just seeing those military robots they have, those dog military robots. Could you imagine trying to fight one of those things and it's all metal and it weighs more than you and it.
And again, we already had like Robocop. How haven't we learned not to? A military
RoboCop.
And a cop. Let's make it automated.
Is
it's
there
gonna
music
be fine.
Good now?
It's
yeah. Okay.
Fine.
Here we go. BTS Halsey, Boy with Love. That was an amazing song. Thank you. Welcome back to the Fontainebleau.
My first thought here was like, oh, an AI wouldn't be able to write something like that. And they're like, oh, wait, there's a bunch of K-pop groups that are technically like sort of AI. But still, it's not the music that they write. And some jobs, I think they cannot actually take. They require a human.
Let's go right into it. The job replacement. I don't think every job will be replaced, but I think this is a big conversation. There is a... What farmer wants to be waking up at 4 in the morning? You know, why not just have that automated machine wake up and get all the sugar beets? And what the hard part is the culture of the what generative AI is generating. Obviously, you can't generate a machine and take down the corn, but you can generate a movie, a book, a song, a comic book, on and on and on it goes. What is going on with the future and jobs in generative AI? Your opinions?
Yeah. AI in jobs nowadays. There's a AAA studio, Activision Blizzard, that's got a lot of flack because of the past year. They've started to use AI generated art inside of their games, especially Call of Duty, and they got a lot of flack because of that. People were mad because of the use. In the end, it turned out that they only used it for the small calling cards, which doesn't affect the game itself.
But
still,
the aesthetics is affected.
Yeah,
right?
That is true.
And how do you know as a gamer? Hey, that's fake. That's AI fake.
Yeah,
and that's
hard to tell sometimes.
Isabel, what do you think is the culture of sexy wolves? You know, being sorry.
Is that your gateway into fan fiction? All right, the sexy wolves.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously AI can take jobs, but it can also. I recently got an ad for an app that specifically writes fan fiction, which is, you know, it's an unpaid job, I suppose. Do people in the audience even know what fan fiction is? Only one person. Yes. All right.
It's okay.
So fan fiction is when a writer who is not the original writer, so a fan of the work, takes existing characters or settings or whatever, and develops the story on their own. So maybe you didn't like the ending of Game of Thrones, and you
did not.
I could do it better, and you go
totally better.
And you go and write your own thing.
That dragon would eat Cersei for starters.
There's like so much stuff that is good with the fan fiction. It's gonna turn into a whole lecture if I go over it.
Okay, well,
but
you said there's no money, but didn't I mean, if it's really good, you do get paid, right? It becomes world famous.
Yeah, it can become a book and so on.
It's bad, but I gotta say, but the 50 Shades of Grey is fan fiction on Edward and what's her face?
Yeah, Bella originally. Yeah.
Bella, what is it? Twilight.
Yeah.
Twilight, right?
The thing is that it's called a toupee problem, toupee conundrum, being like, oh, you know, when the toupee is bad, you can always tell that it's fake, right? But when it's good, you wouldn't know. So there's like no statistics on like how good or bad toupees are, because you wouldn't know when you encounter a good one. It's same with fan fiction. Like a lot of them do become books, but when they're bad, it's quite obvious. But when they're good, you cannot tell. So
is this like AI then? Is this gonna be like generative AI? I mean, that Velvet Sundown, I kind of want to hear it again just to finish it. Like, okay, I did it, the whole thing, the 3 minutes, and the lyrics, the beginning of the lyrics were, I was like, man, did somebody write the lyrics at least? Do we know? Or is it 100%?
But
according to the research, it's 100% fake. Well,
I'm actually going to go through all of my points because I'm very passionate about this topic. Like,
take it away,
Isabel.
There's
been so much generative AI here and there, and I was like, okay, fine, I guess that's where life is. But then I got this ad, and I'm like, no, this is where I draw the line. This is sacred. So, like, when you write fan fiction, one of the biggest points is that it is decentralized. It is made by people for the people. It is not corporate, and it's by design, therefore, more diverse. So you don't need a certain education, you don't need a certain status, background, or whatever to be published. You have an idea, you want to write it, and you do, and there you go. And a big part of it is also a community. You connect with other people, and it's a part of fandom culture. And it's a safe space for you to learn how to write and to learn the language. English is like the biggest language, so people learn to write in English specifically for that. And like, you learn about yourself, your identity, about how to express yourself and all that sort of stuff. And then instead of doing all of that and all that work, you go ahead and you ask AI, hey, can you just write the story for me? And okay, you get the final result, you get your little story, but you missed the entire point. Like, who is gonna read it, and why? Why are you doing it? You're robbing yourself out of the whole experience and the human connection and all sorts of stuff. And that's like, yes, I can actually see how that could be a slightly optimistic prediction, in my opinion, about the future, because like, yes, AI can do these things, but at the same time, I don't think we as humans are going to accept it, because there's so much more to writing and to creating than just the final product, and AI cannot just do it out of nowhere. And I see it as a like positive and hopeful thing, being like, yeah, we as humans can tell, and we as humans crave connection, and we will not like AI.
Well, we are in the meantime, though. Mm. There's a lot of us right now. It's not regulated, is it? Not now.
Not yet.
Not to a certain degree. I mean, we read the article with SVT. They will let some AI into this year's Melody Festival, but not all of it. So there is, and the whole time saving, like my example with being a farmer, I totally agree with you with writing. I mean, it's a painstaking process. I've written 2 books, I'm working on a third one. It takes time, but that's like one of the points. That's one of the points. It's like, okay, what am I going to write today? Oh, I don't like any of it. Erase it all and start over, you know, and it's...
Because like we were discussing like post-editing, for example, right? That part is good to automate because whatever.
Yeah, but the time, yeah.
Yeah, but with writing or like with drawing and so on, I think the creation is the part of the point and part of the process.
There's emotion that goes with that. And the original, like, I don't know, just with me, words is, you know, I saw a joke today. It said, the dictionary is everything you've ever said and ever written in alphabetical order. So, yeah, my book is in the dictionary in one way. Jobs will always be there. It's just I think they're getting limited and limited, and companies want to save money. Why not have, I don't know, would we like to have, the coffee machine. How did we make coffee before the coffee machine? We had to boil the water and then smash the beans.
It's just the problem that the way it looks now is that the jobs that are being replaced are the ones that we actually want to be doing.
Sure.
You know, like
a lot of them are, yeah. The creative jobs,
ones.
Yeah.
We want to have more
movies.
Time. Yeah, we want to have more time to do those jobs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Ray, you mentioned earlier in our discussion group the Star Wars has fan fiction now or something.
Well, they've had fan fiction since the 80s. So.
Good morning.
Good morning.
and yeah, in that case, George Lucas saw an opportunity to make money out of it.
Just
so
him.
He gave his seal of approval to print that, as long as they didn't contradict the official canon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we mentioned. Like, well, how canon can, like, how fan fiction can become canon.
More headaches. More headaches. We need another music break. Motionless in White, Afraid of the Dark. Guys, this is so fun. Wow. Everybody else awake? Thank you for that. Motionless in White, Afraid of the Dark. So back to what you were saying, Isabel, about the connection with fan fiction and then generative AI. Now we're kind of getting isolated. I think it's a very popular and it's getting bigger and bigger. The AI girlfriend, boyfriend, dating, simulation characters of that. So are we slowly going into, like, one person will write fan fiction while the rest of us just binge on these characters and simulators? What do you think, Raiden?
Yeah, that's sadly a very big probability. Wouldn't surprise me at all, seeing how we as a society get more and more isolated from each other with how much internet is nowadays and everybody's on their phones. Nobody actually sits down and talks in IRL anymore, basically.
Oh my gosh, I saw a family the other day sitting at a table in the restaurant, and all five were looking just like Ellen. Just everyone's on the phone. It's like, what the heck? You're like mother, father, brother, sister. And
to be fair, a family, they're probably sick of each other already. They live together. It's more sad when it's like friends or people.
That
just like
dating. That's a valid point.
The more we isolate each other from each other, the more we're afraid of getting critique and opposing opinions, and that's why we're probably gonna turn more and more towards AI friends,
companion.
Partners, and
yeah, for sure, yeah. Because they're never gonna disagree with
She's
you.
She's never
and
gonna tell you your hair sucks. You need to change your eye color.
Yeah, they're never
whatever.
Gonna say that.
They're always gonna say you're beautiful, you're strong.
And also, like, it's such an unfortunate cycle. Also, if you're getting used to someone who never says anything that upsets you, or and then in real life people, even just your friends, they're always going to do something annoying every now and then. And you're going to be like, okay, if I'm choosing between somebody who is annoying sometimes and someone who, like, never says anything wrong, I'm going to choose someone who says nothing wrong ever. And you, like, kind of get even more and more stuck in that. It's such a, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes a void. Vacuum, and you can't evolve socially in that, because you need the opposing opinions to learn and progress and become a better person.
So if generative AI is taken over, and the more of us are being isolated and less of us have jobs, how are we going to afford these things in the first place? And how are they going to put the boyfriend and girlfriend and characters in front
of our
faces?
That is a very good question, and why people are talking about the AI bubble, among other things, is that, like, yeah. The part of not being able to afford the thing to begin with. If it's taking the jobs in the market and mm-hmm. the housing and everything and displacing people, mm-hmm. then how are these same people are supposed to put money back into the economy?
Yeah.
That is the question.
Do you all remember the movie WALL-E by Pixar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's today.
Everybody's...
Yeah.
No, nobody's working. Everybody's just sitting in their floating chairs with their screen in front of them. They're not interacting with each other. They're just existing. And it's just in the end of the movie when the screen stops working, they fall off the chairs. They have to interact a little. But that's...
I just imagine, like, if you're a kid and you're learning from stuff like that to begin with, like from the screen and AI and whatever, I just imagine we'll have a generation that all of them are like... You know, the typical dating stimulator anime boyfriends be like, hello, my lady.
Oh,
don't mind me.
Speaking of that, a lot of kids are learning from iPads nowadays. Parents don't want to parent anymore. They just put an iPad in front of their kid and just sit there, leave me alone.
Yes and no, but the iPad at the same time is causing huge development delays with children.
Yeah, sadly.
They're only using one finger to point. They're not talking because they're being talked at. And like we said earlier, we're isolated, so they're just on the screen. They're not going to... Who shares a screen?
Yeah,
you
no.
Know, you have your own screen.
Exactly. It's already bad there. And imagine if the iPad has an own intelligence and talks back even more to the kid.
And all of the AI-generated children's cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a whole... deeper rabbit hole right there. There's
Should we go there?
It's all like uncanny valley because, you know, most of them are produced by content farmers, which is like, it's not like humans cannot physically keep up with making stuff this quickly. So all of it is automated and made. And then it just becomes weird and creepy, but like catchy enough. So like 3-year-olds can still like sing along and whatnot.
Hmm.
And that can't be good for anybody.
That sounds scary. And I'm a father of four.
That also sounds scary.
But they're real human beings.
But
you
like,
can touch
if you want nightmares, like even as an adult, like watch some of those Joni, yes, Papa, and you'll be like,
oh my gosh,
God.
I've heard that. Please, Baby Shark.
6-7.
We're singing. No more 6-7. We're singing. Let's do a song here. Spirit Box.
Yes.
Circle with me. What is this? More metal? Well, let's get lit! Wow. Spirit Box, circle with me. And that was a female singer or AI?
Who knows?
You know.
That is the question. I think it's a female singer.
So let's continue with our generative AI here. And I want to get specific with art itself. You know, like Picasso, you know, Michelangelo, Leonardo. So why is a banana taped on a easel $6 million and then a ChatGPT, give me the sensual, sexual, captivating, modern, sexy wolf in 2 seconds. Just as expensive. What's going on here in our generative art world?
That is a really good question. And well, in the end, like, what is art? It's so hard to define. Like you said, banana duct taped to a wall.
But that was at least a person did that.
Yeah, at least a person did
that. So before AI generation, we could at least argue that, well, at least somebody took the pen and paper and put it to pad. They worked. They thought it out. They worked. Jackson Pollock, I think, is just, what is that? But
yeah.
That's $20 million right there.
Uncultured swine.
Yeah. But
my opinion. I'm gonna tell it to it. That's my opinion. I'm gonna tell it to it. Come on, oink oink. I mean,
the oats, brother. The oats. Anyway.
But how are we gonna, like, as a consumer, would you pay for something you knew was ChatGPT, Grok?
No. Can this reminds me? I bought a really beautiful tarot card deck recently, and I should have checked the reviews beforehand. I checked like that they're all high rated. I was like, okay, great. And I opened them. And they're beautiful. And I'm like, and they arrived from Canada. Why they were so cheap and so high quality? What's wrong with them? And then I clicked, and it's AI art.
AI tarot cards. So they're not even real.
No.
They can't even tell you your future.
But fittingly, it's for shadow work. So it's like, I'm super upset about this. Let's do some shadow work on why it bothers me so much.
Yeah. But like,
huge
yeah.
Huge disappointment.
AI art, digital artists online call every kind of AI art for AI slop.
AI slop, yeah.
It's crap. No matter how beautiful it was generated, they still refer to it as slop. Like you said, who would want to pay for that if they knew it was AI? But at the same time, like, what is it now, 5 years ago, everybody was buying NFTs.
That's right.
And they Not didn't everybody. Even own the stuff. Like, yeah. Why pay so much for something you don't even own?
It could be fad.
Yeah, it was definitely a fad.
It's the only thing I can think of. The only thing I can argue with art in generative or not is beauty is in the eye of the beholder at the end of the day.
Yeah, that is true.
There's going to be somebody who's like, I like the sexy wolves.
Yeah.
I don't want to print that on mass.
I mean, that's fair enough. It's just, I think it's also like the... I could have done that, you know, like we have McDonald's at home. We have like the AI at home.
Like Jackson Pollock. I could have done that. Yeah.
Which, sure. But like the point is that I think with the AI art, I wouldn't want to pay for it because I can go ahead and just do exactly the same prompt and get more or less the same result. Meanwhile, even with NFTs, it was like, okay, I don't own it, I didn't make it, but is it like, do people were mining it or something? Like, it still took a while. There was some sort of like a Tech Bros Pokemon trading cards sort of thing in there. So I think that it's also a conversation about the value of effort and like if I could do that at home or not type of thing.
Yeah. Because the big problem with so-called AI art is that the people who are prompting the art claims that they made it, which they didn't, because commission someone to do a painting for you, you give them a prompt of what you want them to create for you, and then they create that. They put in value and time and give you something, but you wouldn't claim that you made it. So that's the biggest problem. People are claiming they're making the AI art. They're not. They're just prompting it.
And especially where it gets the material from, like the DeviantArt, the biggest platform for artists to upload their original works. Now you cannot opt out from the fact that whatever you upload, they will use to teach and train the AI on. So yeah. That is also a big thing. Is like not only didn't you make it to begin with, the pieces and bits that it took to make the work, it stole from someone. And that's also...
So is anything over? Is art going to be dead? Is movies? Is music? Are we going to still have a little old school and just keep getting bigger and bigger, more popular with the AI generation, generative?
Well, art's not dead. Art will never die because humans are creative originally, and we all like human-made things. Even if we do have all these things now where you can prompt things, we're still going to create on our own because it's an outlet for us.
Did you see the Kunst Museum here had like the huge thing being like constant a dead long live a Durden. Because that's the thing. It's like depending whom you ask, people be like, oh, music has been dead forever anyway, and like yeah, they need to go Nietzsche on it, like the god is dead. But
beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I think we as a species are creative. Like we cannot stop creating and dancing and expressing ourselves and tell stories.
That's we created
what
AI
what we are,
and now we're using it. And now there's a lot of backfire, I guess.
That's just being human. We're constantly like, because I can also see how developing AI is really, really fun and intellectually stimulating to see how far you can take it and how automated it can be. And it's also creative in its way. But then it's a very, very human thing to be like, uh-oh, consequences.
The only thing I could really see, really, when I really put my mind to it, is if I become a paraplegic, I want AI to feed me, wipe my butt, give me a shower, entertain me. Maybe I feel like doing a color, you know, hey, color this, color that. And could you imagine being, you know, just anything? I mean, just being one arm less. You know, that would be, you'd want, I mean, we have prosthetics. Is that a form of AI?
Augmented reality. There's so many games about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you see those Olympians who are running on two sticks, and they're running very fast, almost as good as the a normal person, in quotes there.
Don't we have like glasses and headphones now that can translate like in real time
yeah.
and give you answers
yeah.
to
oh
stuff?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like we are starting to enter yeah. the whole the cyberpunk era of stuff.
All right, cyberpunk. Is this next song cyberpunk? Donna Summer, Bad Girls. The Queen of Disco, Donna Summer, Bad Girls. That was a nice, lovely song there. So, this is our wrap up. And going forward, I just want to say I'm kind of torn, actually. I want, like I said earlier in our discussions throughout the week, I love, you know, I mean, Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, the lightsabers. That's got to be AI or CGI or whatever it is. It's fake. It's not real. And I love it.
Yeah.
I eat it up.
Definitely.
So it's got to be regulated. I do agree with that. I don't know how to regulate it. And at the top is the guys making money by saving all these jobs. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want somebody to take away my writing job on my third book, but it would be nice if I had finished it yesterday. So,
but like you said about the lightsabers in Revenge of the Sith being CGI, computer generated, not humans made. They've actually, the technology of the LED lights have progressed so much, so now they're using real lights on the sabers in the shows and movies instead of CGIing it like before. So
like Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that AI is predictive technology. We should trust it to make all of the predictions about the future.
No, that's what we have the Simpsons for.
Exactly.
but like it's fine as a tool for small things, using it a little until we learn to do it ourselves and then use real stuff instead.
And it's also like a big question of like people say, oh, like fictional literature and like academic literature and whatnot, that like you can learn from one but not the other. And I am really opposed to that. It's like one you learn through like factual learning and the other you learn through your imagination and empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's same thing here. Like you can enjoy something even if it's not real. It's just like, you know, you can still enjoy a piece of media. Quoting Anita Sarkeesian here, you could still enjoy a piece of media while simultaneously being aware of its more problematic aspects.
Well,
I mean,
I think that's the reason why every time I watch the last episode of Friends, even though Ross and Rachel are fictitious and fake, David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston are very real. You can see that. And you know, I'm almost getting teared up right now. that was a big show for me. So I think we've wrapped it up. This is it. Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan.
I'm Isabel.
And I'm Raiden.
And this is the Fontaine Boobo!
Yeah!